Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, we included the
Dean,
Wiggler, and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about Season 3, Episode 16 of Community, Virtual Systems Analysis. I am Josh Wiggler, as played by Abed. I am joined here by Jessica Sterling, as played by Abed.
Yes, I have good news and I have bad news.
Do you want to start with the bad news? I feel like then the good news is better received.
So the bad news is we're not live for the patrons today, but
that is bad news.
The good news is we're not alone and we have a really amazing special guest on today.
Yes, very excited about this. We are bringing her back since the very beginning of community building, all the way back in season one, making her grand return to community, as also played by Abed, your friend and mine, the great Gabby Pascuzzi.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for the welcome back. And
Gabby,
I'm excited to be here in the Dreamatorium with both of you.
Gabby, it is a Dreamatorium to have you back.
Oh, so good.
The podcast. How have you been, Gabby? It has been since very early season one. I feel like one of the first couple of episodes since we've had
it
you
was
on
Spanish 101. Yeah.
Wow.
Second episode.
Yes.
Yeah, right at the beginning. I have been great. I mean, I can't believe it's been that long. My life is rather different. I feel like I've gone full Britta season three, declared my major as psychology. And by major, I mean, I started a PhD program in psychology at the age of 28 years old.
Yep.
So have loved the Britta love this season, because as I think I probably said on the first episode, but like, I am a Britta defender. I am now just transforming into her and I'm feeling fully realized and, pretty much perfect life. No notes. No, just kidding.
No notes.
I mean, it's great.
I want to take notes on how that happens, because I do not have the same self-assessment, but perhaps a trip to the Dreamatorium will fix things right up. Well, Gabby, I'm sad that we don't have like a much stronger Britta episode for you this week.
I am
thrilled that that she has been reigning supreme here throughout season three, to your satisfaction at the very least.
Yes, I've been very satisfied with the Britta appreciation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is not a Britta episode, but it is an episode that I like very much, and one that I forgot that I liked so much until I was watching it with some probably my favorite community moment period, which I will reveal when the time is right.
Unmask it at a certain point in time. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Whole show, favorite of the whole thing.
I think so. Nice. Probably just, you know, when you have a favorite show and then some things just become ingrained in like your daily part of your life. And that is one part of this episode in particular. So, I mean, it was very fun and I'm thrilled to be back here talking with you two. about a show that we all love.
Yeah, the what you just described about how you have something from your favorite show become a part of your daily life is turned into my life, and it sounds like a dreamatorium. It's actually a nightmaratorium. Sometimes it's dreamy, often it's dreary, but today it is a dream. Jess Sterling, the dreamatorium episode. Is this an anticipated one for the podcast?
I wouldn't say like highly anticipated, but okay. I would say for some, I think it's really one of those episodes that it really depends on who you are on if you like it. Because it's not exactly like a laugh a minute kind of episode. But I think anybody who's a huge fan of Abed really loves this episode because we get to see a lot of Abed and how he thinks. And there are some people out there, Josh. We've talked a lot about like the Annie and Jeff of it all, the Britta and Jeff of it all. There are the Annie Abed stands.
Mm-hmm. And a I lot think of I'm them one of
point,
them.
Yeah, point, a lot of them point to this episode as like, look at, they have great chemistry. They get along wonderfully. And so I think a lot of the Annie Abed stands really like this episode as well. I think it's a really great one to kind of, you know, we've seen the trilogy of like Troy, Abed, or the Holy Trinity, right? Like Troy, Abed, and Annie all living together. But to kind of pull Troy out of that equation for an episode is very interesting because it's Troy and Abed, right?
Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. I think it's great to pair Abed off with a different character and Annie with a different character and have them be really the only two characters of the episode, essentially. And just various versions of them playing all of the other characters on the show. I feel like of the stuff that had broken through my I haven't seen Community filter before I started watching Community, the Dreamatorium, at the very least as a concept, was one of those things that I knew about, but I didn't know if I knew if it was like the concept of the Dreamatorium or if it was a Dreamatorium episode. Are there multiple Dreamatorium episodes, or is this the Dreamatorium episode, pretty much?
I think this is pretty much the episode. Yeah. I mean, they like, we see clips of them like in the Dreamatorium, obviously, but to spend the most of the episode in it, this is the episode.
Yeah, I loved it, by the way. I have to say right up front that I'm a simple man. You do a concept episode and you do it excellently, and I'm probably going to give it a pretty high score. I'm giving this one all the cools. I love the Dreamatorium episode. I thought it was great. I thought it was really clever. I thought it was cleverly done. I thought that that the performances were so good like everybody playing Abed or Annie's version of them. I thought that translated to me. I don't know. It felt very Rick and Morty in a lot of ways.
It did.
Too.
Yeah. That's a really good comparison. I don't know. It's hard for me, Gabby. Like, we'll talk about Meow Meow Beans later, but it was so hard for me to give out Meow Meow Beans to individual characters when it's like, do they earn the beans? Because it's Abed's interpretation.
Do they earn?
I wondered the same. The beans. Yeah. Yeah. Is it them? Was it them in the study room, like for those very short scenes, or Abed's play? I did sort of like a merging of the, I don't know. We'll get to it.
I did too. I kind of took into account the actors' performances as well, I feel like, in this episode, because like seeing the different, you know, I don't know, seeing Donald Glover's interpretation of what Abed would play as Troy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those types of things I felt like you needed to take into account as well. But yeah, it's a really interesting episode. It's definitely a different episode. It's a staple episode. I just think people vary on whether or not they love it, simply because some people are here for the laughs, right? Like, so that's what some people watch Community for, is to laugh a mile a minute. And while there are a ton of laughs in this episode, I do think it's more, it reminds me a little bit more of like Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, in that it's residing
that's
in the heart
great
of
episode.
Abed. Yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful episode. Don't get me wrong. That's a full four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you think, Gabby, there are people who watch Community to cry? If there are people who watch it to laugh, are there people who watch it to cry?
Yeah, definitely. I have definitely, there's a couple episodes that will do that to me.
Yeah.
But probably mostly to laugh and to think and to love and to live and laugh.
And perchance to dreamatorium as well.
And to dream a dream.
As we shall do that now. Let's talk through the episode. I'm really mostly here now to find out what your favorite moment of Community is, Gabby. I'm very excited about this. Virtual Systems Analysis, April 19th, 2012. Tristram Shapiro is the director. It was co-written by Dan Harmon and Matt Murray. Jess, we begin in the study room.
As we usually do, they're studying for anthropology, and they're not doing a very good job. They can't remember the order of like the order, phylum, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Pierce has a mnemonic device, which is Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Right. And then they offer him a different one and he doesn't accept it.
He's like, they're like, why not Karen? But it's gay sex. It's not great sex. Mm-hmm. And so Britta's like, we're always in this position where we just have so much fun. We don't want to study. And Britta and Troy are making eyes at each other. This has slowly been building throughout the season. And Annie is on it. Annie notices. She's like, that's it. That's it. It's happening.
Gabby, were you noticing in the real time of you watching this show, the Troy and Britta stuff? And were you liking it or did you not like it that much as this was starting to happen?
Yes, I noticed it. No, I did not like it. Yeah. I am not a Troy and Britta shipper. I even think this episode where they're like supposed to, you know, it's planting the seeds and it's supposed to like be kind of cute together. They go out on, I guess, you know, their first date, question mark. But even that, I like don't see it. So I think they make really great friends. And I think it felt a little like forced and surreal to me when I was watching it and even rewatching it. The several times that I've rewatched it, like it that's one that hasn't changed. There's a lot of relationships that I might change my opinion on.
This one hasn't.
But this one, I'm just like, I don't like it.
I've been more open-minded to it, but having watched this episode, I was like, I don't know that there's really much here.
That's the problem for me is there's not, I don't know if it's a lack of chemistry because both like actors are so amazing. It feels like an indictment on their acting performances to say
but it's
that.
Not.
But it really feels like there's not enough chemistry there. And the characters, it kind of is like, I don't know, in the modern age, I feel like people watching this would be like, they would ship Troy and Abed, like immediately.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so it just feels like, it really feels like you're watching a show for long enough where you have a group of friends that they're bound to pair up most of them romantically at some point. And it kind of feels like it's their turn. Smush.
Right. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
kiss
now. Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was cute the way that it ended last week. I still feel that way. Like I felt like that was less about them carrying the emotional moment of the text message about Blade and more about like all the friends getting together. So like I liked the end of last week.
Yeah.
And I think now that it's being followed up on in this way, I am feeling like I don't love it quite as much. But it does lead us to great stuff. So I'm not overly mad at it, but I am clocking that this is the one where I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm rethinking how I felt about Troy and Britta coming into this. Here comes the Dean coming into this as the dual Dean of Man.
Yeah,
he's good news and bad news.
The bad news is Professor Kane has the flu, and the good news is biology class is canceled.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry for Professor Kane.
This
but
is one of the iconic.
Happy for
Dean
all
outfits,
of us,
for sure. Yeah.
Iconic.
One of the most iconic, for
is
sure.
Is this okay. A big Hollow Dean costume? You think people go out as the dual Dean?
I've considered it. Uh-huh. I rewatching this, I was like, I forgot. This is one of the things on my list that I think I could execute. So. Yeah. Now is the time I can reveal. This is part one of three.
Okay. Okay.
This is my favorite. It's a three-part favorite thing.
Incredible.
This is, I think, within the three parts. I can't rank the parts. They're all. It's all my favorite, but it begins.
Okay, it begins.
It begins.
Yeah. It's established.
It
with
begins with a duality.
The arrival of the duality in a fan.
It tickles you on its own. I mean, the half. He's dressed half with the long wig and in his little dress and he turns and he's talking to himself and like, oh, it's so charming. I love it so much.
Uh-huh.
I love when so they like they're all excited because they don't have to cram. Cramming can be for tomorrow. And so they're like, OK, 3-hour lunch. Great. And so the Dean leaves and I love. Just the fact that because he has one high heel on and one like shoe.
Yes!
And so like kind of like the awkward, like limping, like sidestep out of the room also kills me.
Yes.
He really committed.
Yeah. But Abed and Troy are going to play Inspector Spacetime in the Dreamatorium. But Annie is like, we should all go to Senior Kevin's, which apparently is this Mexican restaurant. Senior Kevin's as an idea also kills me. And like the fact that there could be a Senior Kevin out there is just great.
Yeah.
But The tortillas are made with microfinanced flour. So Britta's in. And Troy really loves the spiral ramp that he gets to drive on to get there.
Yes.
Just keep That's turning exciting. Left and you go up.
I love a spiral ramp. It's like a little roller coaster in real life, though.
It gets you dizzy. Yeah. Gets me dizzy.
Yeah.
It's a little mosh. Abed says, well, I can't go because me and the manager are enemies. He said Die Hard was bad.
I was really nervous for much of this episode because it seemed like there weren't characters that were real on the show that would otherwise qualify for Dean's list, because everybody else is either Abed or Annie. But you do see this guy very quickly. It's like, am I going to have to give an MVP point or a Dean's list point to a guy who said Die Hard's bad? I'm not
looking for that. He said Die Hard was bad.
Yeah,
I should have done it just as the troll move.
Yeah.
Giving them a
I would have been upset.
I should have done it for that reason alone.
So Annie is trying to engineer this so that she and Abed are paired up, and Troy and Britta are paired up. She's ultimately able to get that going. And then the Dean has a crisis, Gabby.
Oh my God. This is part two of three.
I left my putting on the Ritz cane in here.
I'm sure it has another name, but
you went too far with this one.
I have to go to the bank today. That is my favorite. I swear, in all the seasons, I have to go to the bank today. What am I supposed to tell the people in line? I had good news and bad news. I don't know how this is a part of my life, because I don't often dress up like with my left half and right half not matching.
Yes.
But I do often just find ways to say, I have to go to the bank today.
That's good.
Oh my gosh, which I just love that, like, we always see the Dean in these absurd costumes. We love him. Mm-hmm. We love his little cameos. He's always making us laugh. He's always breaking out the Dean puns. And then in this one, we finally get to consider the ramifications of what happens when Dean Craig Pelton needs to go out into the real world. He has errands to run.
He's got things to do. I really love the line, come on, Craig, get your life together.
That's how you know he's serious, because he's not referring to himself as Dean. He says Craig.
God, that is
so
true.
You know he's like serious, but he's like, oh, I gotta get your life together.
Get your life together.
It's really sad, but also really great, because like the amount of times that we just see him bust through these study hall doors with a random outfit on to come in and announce something to his favorite little study group, to touch Jeff on the on the shoulder or on the abs, and then leave. And then you think, like, okay, does he just sit in that costume in his office all day? You know? So the implications of like him dressing in these outfits and then having to see the rest of the world is really great, Gabby. Yes. It's a really good moment to have as like your top tier moment.
Oh,
I love
my gosh.
It.
And like
it.
Forgetting the prop, like, you, because he's got to commit to it. So it's not, he's not just going to leave his putting on the Ritz there. Like, he has to go back and retrieve it. He's staying in costume all day, we now know, you know? So it's, there's really commitment, and we respect commitment to a bit.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, bit.
Yeah, bit.
Yeah, bit.
Bringing it all back.
So then
now we go to the Dreamatorium.
Yeah,
and we're
in
like,
the Dreamatorium.
We're here for the rest of it, huh?
Yeah. And so Abed is introducing Inspector Spacetime. Annie is going to play the role of Constable Geneva.
Now I started to understand this a little better, having watched a Doctor Who. So I was like, okay, I'm getting the rhythm a little bit. I'm finally figuring this out. I'll also use this as an opportunity to say, hey, new patron podcast about to drop. Doctor Who rewatch from the YA crew. It's Whoa now, with Senior Kevin himself. Kevin Mahadeo and Melissa and Adam are doing some Doctor Who coverage here. So patreon.com/PostRicos. We'll put the first episode in the main feed so you can listen to it. So keep an eye out on the main Poster Recaps feed for that. Fun to see the Inspector Spacetime. Even if Abed did not enjoy his companion. Tut tut, my lord. Wouldn't give a tuppence for that sticky wicket.
Annie with the best British accent. Like, it's so bad, but it's so funny. Mm-hmm. She's like, the thing is she's so committed, right? Like, she is full in. She's trying to like play this game with Abed. And he's just like, he's immediately like, no.
Yeah.
This is not working for him.
It's like wrong era, wrong regional accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hates it. So he's good. We see him in his like his robe. Annie has this like paper crown thing on, and she's like, "Can we play something I know about, like hospital administration?" and Abed says, "You tampered with the fabric of the group by pairing Trey and Britta together." He's like, "I've run all the scenarios," but Annie says, "Well, you don't have a patent on being control freak." And this is so true that both of them are the biggest control freaks out of the entire group.
For sure. I kind of do. You think this is just a room where we play dinosaurs. But then we see that there's, I don't know if we see it now, but we see like the actual Dreamatorium engine. And if that hasn't been patented yet, gosh, I hope that they do in a future episode.
Yeah. This really feels, Gabby, like something that I would have done as a kid, you know, take all of the leftover cardboard my parents had for the week and like cut up like all like a big wrapping paper tube or take toilet paper rolls and like put something like this together.
Yes. I mean, who among us didn't play pretend and like get so into it? I used to play Pokemon with my friends where like you would either pretend to be a Pokemon
a trainer or a Pokemon?
Oh, sometimes you were the Pokemon. Sometimes we were wild Pokemon.
It's a metaphor for life. Sometimes you're the trainer. So sometimes you're the Pokemon.
Sometimes you're caught by a random ball encapsulating your entire life, and then you are changed to that person for the rest of time.
Far too often, yes.
Far too often that this is happening. Yeah, I mean, I was also a crafty kid. I actually remember making many crafts out of paper tubes, and I don't think I ever perfected the plumbing of my own imagination like Abed has here.
But
you're right. Yeah, never too late. Now we know you can make tweaks to it. There are funnels, and it's like one of those puzzle games where you have to like turn the knob and see where the thing flows, and you want the thing to flow in the right place. Like I thought it was a very appropriate simulation for what it is like inside those of us who have trouble reading social cues.
Yes.
Yeah. In our brains.
Yeah, this is great. So he's like, well, do you want me to show you how your stunt is going to play itself out? And so he starts a simulation, and he is both Troy and Britta. And so funny. Those appetizers were both dope and legit. And Britta says, I don't usually support lunch because it's unfair to breakfast.
I mean, I have a lot. This is a very tough thing for me to get past because I'm trying to support Britta so much, but that's just such an obscene position.
Well, don't worry. It's Abed's portrayal of Britta. So it's a little exaggerated.
Yes. Yes.
I was really surprised that in 2012, they foresaw the creation of Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Gabby, what did you think of Nathan Fielder's The Rehearsal?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I have not yet listened to the PSR on it, and I wish to run there immediately because I need to hear what others are thinking
about it. We had a lot of questions about the ethics of the rehearsal.
Well, yeah, I feel like that's one of the things, but this episode, it's so fun to watch something that obviously at the time the rehearsal did not exist yet, and almost immediately seeing Abed play out these scenarios, I literally wrote in all caps like, the rehearsal? Nathan Fielder? And like, I relate to it so much as a fellow like socially awkward person that worries so much about what other people think and how people are going to react to this chain of events and these things that I'm saying, that like, I think that's why this episode and the rehearsal appealed to me, because we'll get into, you know, how this episode resolves itself. But I just think like the takeaway from what I think the takeaway from this episode and the rehearsal are very similar and like a good life lesson. But yes. Alas, I will not spoil a different show on this show.
We shan't.
We
shan't do such a thing. We can't.
So then the simulation, right? So then we actually see Britta and Troy now. And they talk about how Annie got them together. And this is when Senor Kevin comes over and he says, I'm afraid your food won't be ready for another half an hour. I'm too busy misunderstanding the whole point of Die Hard.
I love it.
And Troy's just like, I can't wait to get home to Abed. And this is when Abed actually shows Annie the Dreamatorium's engine. So all his thoughts are in a box.
It looks incredible. It's just like a very complicated array of like paper, cardboard, just like little crafty projects that I greatly appreciated the unity in this. Very, very good stuff.
Yeah. And so he basically.
I wish I was anywhere even remotely close to this crafty.
You just need duct tape and cardboard and a dream.
I feel like I do think that's all you pretty much need. It's not like there's like glitter and feathers and everything everywhere. It's pretty basic, to be honest.
I don't know.
If Annie got her hands on this, there'd be glitter. There'd be what is it called? Blueprints. There'd be so much involved in this if Annie was involved.
Yes.
It's rather simplistic.
Yeah.
Under the hood.
Yes.
And so he says, I'm able to simulate any of the study group and even a half accurate Chang in over 7,000 unique situations.
I feel like his Chang ends up being pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, you're not able to see what I see. So Annie gets a phone call. So she steps out of the Dreamatorium and it's from Troy. He's just checking in on Abed to make sure he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make sure he stays comfortable. I worry about him when I'm not around. He gets extra sensitive in the Dreamatorium.
So sweet. So sweet.
It is really, really good.
But instead, Annie is annoyed. She's just like, what? He's fine.
Yes.
What's your date?
Well, that was the one thing that I thought is I was like, this is so sweet, but also like you are 20 minutes into the date. Like, don't ignore Britta. Obviously, maybe Troy doesn't know it's a date, but it's also very Troy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I do think that this is probably how it would go, I would think, based on this place in their life at the very least. Like where they are emotionally and you know, in terms of their maturity levels.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And so Britta says, oh, it's so sweet how much you care about Abed. And then Senor Kevin comes over. And another thing I read about
Senor
Die Hard.
Kevin?
Oh, is Senor Kevin the manager himself?
Not Senor Kevin.
Oh my God. I just thought maybe he's the manager. I didn't know he was the eponymous Senor Kevin.
Himself. Yeah. In the flesh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so he says another problem with Die Hard is there are two FBI agents named Johnson.
Huh? Is that true? I guess.
I have no idea. I've only seen Die Hard once.
Die Hard. Now are they talking about Reginald Bell Johnson?
Never seen it.
No,
okay.
And I feel here's like Abed thing, would be mad at me for
yeah,
it.
Well, it's a I'm decent Abed movie. Playing it's Josh fine. Brigger, and I'm furious. I'm not. I'm
it's
good.
Fine, but don't watch it around Christmas, Gabby. I understand this is a hot topic for people. Don't do it. It's not a Christmas
I know.
Movie.
I think that's why I've stayed away from it.
Yeah.
It feels like there's no appropriate time to watch it because I don't want to bring it up anywhere close to Christmas time because I don't want to launch
maybe
a debate.
Maybe November because it's like close enough to Christmas, but also it's not directly in December.
Okay. So it's like, and then people are going to argue about if Thanksgiving, you can't do the turnover to Christmas until Thanksgiving is done.
That's true. You're going to open up a can of worms with that too. They're really, you know what? Just don't watch it.
I'm gonna watch it on a random day in July. Christmas in July, but about as appropriate as Christmas in July.
I'm so pissed right now.
I don't even know how
ask Gabby the question that we had last week about which character is closer to a dog from Star Wars.
Well, so that didn't make it onto the podcast, I don't think, did it? But we were having
it onto the podcast.
I just listened to it.
Okay, so it was on there. So R2-D2 or Chewbacca, Gabby, who's the dog? Which one?
Like,
you have to choose.
No, I don't know.
You have to pick one of them. One of them is a dog. Which one?
R2-D2.
Neither of them are actually dogs, but one of them is a dog.
R2-D2.
I'm so pissed right now.
I don't know. I don't like either. This is almost as bad as my friends and I made up a scale. It is a two-axis scale, and one is cat to dog, sort of spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And one is cat to dog, and the other is donkey to Shrek. And
donkey to Shrek.
We love it, but many people hate it.
Like either you're donkey or Shrek.
Yeah. And then so the spectrum between, but it's sort of like a four quadrant type of thing. So for example,
That's actually far quadrant. That was a very good joke.
Shut up. Tim is going to love that joke.
Lord far quadrant.
That was so good.
Oh, I can never, I'll never be able to top that in my life. Yeah. Like for example, I'm a donkey cat and I won't derail too much by explaining exactly what that means. But like the girls who get it and the girls that don't.
I feel like I might be donkey cat.
See, I think I'm a donkey dog.
I think you might. I think those are both pretty accurate.
Yeah, donkey dog sounds like I'm like, I don't know, Southern somehow. Like donkey dog.
A donkey dog. Yeah. I don't know if my friends are going to be mad or happy that I have been spreading this very obscure scale that we far, far and wide. And like, I just don't want it to be misunderstood. So I might have to hop in the PSR Discord after this in case there's any confusion. I don't want people to struggle to place themselves and misunderstand what we mean by cat and dog and Shrek and donkey. It is a complicated system, but I would probably place R2-D2 as a in the middle of donkey and Shrek dog.
R2-D2 is a cat and you're all monsters. Anyway, no, let's get back to community before I rage quit the podcast. I'm so upset right now. No Die Hard until July of next year.
Yep.
And it's just fine. And R2-D2 is a dog. I'm pissed.
Yeah. This is
which
your
makes
life now.
Me a Shrek.
Yeah, it does make you a bit of a Shrek.
Very
yeah.
Shrek-like of you.
True.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So Abed's working on the engine and he says, well, now you're going to play Rosamund instead because she only had three lines. Mm-hmm. So welcome.
Yeah. Not nice.
But Annie says, well, we need to add another step to the process. And so she adds where the Abed box was. She puts other people and she says, you're going to have empathy. And then he freaks out and falls to the ground. And she's like, oh, my God, I broke Abed.
Uh-huh.
Which he's been broken so many times. And one of my favorite
the noise
little
he
recurring...
makes is pretty wild.
Yeah, one of my favorite little gags is the. So great.
Not conducive to podcasting, I think, is the noise of a broken Abed.
That's fair. Yeah. It's very fair. She's like, you know, when you wanted me to tell me you were being scary weird instead of cute weird,
this is scary weird.
Yeah.
But then he wakes up as Jeff Winger. What was I doing on the floor? Winger. Were we doing it?
Hate it. Thanks.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So then he says, we're in this doctor's lounge of Greendale Hospital School.
Yeah. The vending machine just has buttered noodles.
Yep. It's a sexy emotional school where doctors save lives and make love, often simultaneously.
Make love to me, Anne.
Yeah, he calls her Anne, which
yeah,
is
weird.
Weird.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah, I clocked that as well, and I thought it was very strange.
Yeah, I know I'm just a surgeon, and you're a hotshot upstart administrator, but damn the rules. Damn the system. Damn our 2-foot height disparity. I want you.
Yeah, she wants to leave the dreamatorium. She's done with this. This is too much.
Mm-hmm. I also wanted to leave. I was vomiting everywhere.
Uncomfortable. Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah.
But she walks away a couple steps. She does that thing where you walk away a little bit and then you're like, I'm gonna go like listen at the door. But she goes back in. And she's like, do you know where Abed is? And he's like, I've never heard of him. And so they do like a little like graze slash like ER scene here. And Abed's like, well, Dr. Perry might know where Abed is.
Yeah. And so she's just goading him into impersonating every single character on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely fantastic because they're in like a science lab and Britta and Troy are like fooling around, but they're just like moving their hands around each other's faces.
Is this the part where they're like making out, but not really?
Yeah, it's right, it's about this part. Yeah,
yeah.
It's so like they weird. Run their poorly.
Like at each other. And this is the point where I did increase the meow meow beans for these two characters specifically because of how much I laughed at this scene. Mm-hmm.
That's very fair. Yeah. Because
It's so stupid, but it's so funny. Like, this is what Abed thinks like people fooling around looks like.
And Abed's running in between the two of them. So you can see his little shadow. And
activity. Yeah. You just have to run back and forth nonstop, standing in place, making out to the air. This is how it goes, so I don't know what we're getting upset about. It's very strange, very very odd behavior, super super weird. I love the he's talking as Troy. So Abed's name in the hospital school files, all of butt stuff. I hate spiders, stole a pen from the bank, he cried during About a Boy. The soundtrack, the About a Boy soundtrack is tremendous if you have not it's badly drawn boy and it's terrific. So I would co-sign crying listening to that soundtrack. So good. Very, very good. I don't wash my hands before surgery.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see why women find Clive Owen attractive to the point where I might just as well be attracted to him.
I think my favorite one is I'm more turned on by women in pajamas than lingerie. I just want to know they're comfortable.
Feminist Troy.
Yes.
Feminist Troy.
Yeah.
I didn't get Inception.
I didn't get Inception.
There's so many layers.
And so Annie's like, I want to see the file. And so then we go to a room with Shirley and Pierce. Where she's a head nurse talking to a tragic, heart-wrenching Alzheimer's patient and Emmy contender, Pierce Hawthorne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shirley says Abed's been filtered out because nobody needs him anymore.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's getting personal all of a sudden.
Yeah. And he says, I need him. And she fake slaps Shirley. And she's like a full-on 2 feet away from her.
Yeah, incredible. The visuals in this of like the surreality of the VR experience here in the Dreamatorium, the way that they convey that to us, like the standing in place, making out, stuff like this. Even earlier when we're in the restaurant and it's Abed clearly as every character, and before you're totally used to that, you're hearing like a little bit of Abed's voice before it becomes Donald Glover or whoever. I think that the way that they're playing with this, like format wise, is another reason why I'm so high on the episode. Is I think they are really committing to the bit, and I think that they're doing it in a way that's very fun and engaging. I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. Very, very fun. They're like playing very fair within the reality of the situation, which is not real at all. It's great.
It's very effective. And like you said earlier, it's so fun to see the characters and the actors playing each other and like
very meta.
I think Abed says at one point meta oops, sorry, that's a little later, but that's I love that about this episode. Like the actors are so good in it because they get the little nuances and I simply adore it.
And I simply think it's the best.
Annie tells Jeff to go get the files, and he's just like, there's an Abed in this hospital school, but he's not a doctor. He's a patient.
Ooh, a little foreshadowing.
Gasp. Yes.
Wow.
And so they have to run in place in the hallway as it moves around them. But the scene shifts to the last night of school, first year. This is the night that Jeff and Annie kissed. And Annie asks, whose memory is this? You weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, maybe it's yours. Maybe the Dreamatorium really works. Or maybe Leonard was watching from the bushes and told Abed about it.
Oh, no.
And Leonard pops out and says, I don't have cable.
Oh, well, that's
Leonard.
That's terrible. The implications. Not great. Was this a thing from season one? Was Leonard secretly here?
No.
Okay,
so it's a revelation.
It's a very sneaky plot device, which I actually appreciate because it is, for a second, you're like, wait, so how is the Dreamatorium like getting these real life scenarios because you're like, am I crazy or were those cardboard tubes?
Yeah.
And there's an explanation, albeit a, you know, whatever you call that kind of trope.
Yeah. So Leonard was involved, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And so the Abed version of Jeff says he was confused, but not anymore. And Annie's like, I want to talk to Abed. And so she like fake takes the file and she's like, oh, it says he's in the recovery parlor. Condition? Never better.
Never better. Yeah, that's like, not the real anything. File, not which is also great because he's holding the file the whole time that she takes the file too.
Yeah,
it's just another really fun way of playing around with that. But no, he's a psychiatric patient, 1373, control freak with no empathy. People bend over backwards to cater to him. That was sad. That was sad.
Brutal. It's so sad when you realize, like, gosh, this is what Abed actually thinks people think of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Yeah.
And Annie says, it's out of context. And so the Jeff version of Abed touches Annie's face and he says, you thought of everything, Annie. With Abed gone and Troy and Britta together, there's nothing standing in the way of us. But Annie is confused and Abed says, this is why you played matchmaker. Like, it's very obvious that you did this so that you and Jeff could get together.
That's not why. She says, I thought they were cute together. This would have been a bonus, but we're not here and I'm not staying here. I hate whoever you are. She runs away.
Yeah, but she runs into a wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how she really got into it.
Yeah.
That's
why you're supposed to run in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so Abed asks Annie where she wants to go next. Now Abed is Annie. And so it's Annie versus Annie.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why are you blowing our magic moment with Jeff?
Yeah.
We're in love with Jeff.
But I love that we get this flip. And this is like a part where I kind of started losing the plot of the episode in a great way. I felt like so Abed turns into Annie and then Annie turns into Abed and starts talking about Star Wars, Zardos, Cougar Town. Cool, cool, cool. I'm in a TV show. And like at this point for the rest of the episode, I'm now doubting when Abed is showing up. Is that Annie or is that Abed and vice versa? So like the reality of the situation is completely morphed and just turned into soup for me for the rest of the thing. I thought it was great. I had a very fun time here from this point moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think that is a very fair way to watch and enjoy it. It's like, I don't know who's who, and
yeah,
just going along with it is very fun.
Yeah, yeah, they wind up in the locker, right?
Yeah, so they're in a metaphorical locker. It's where he spent most of his time in junior high. It's a place where people like me get put when everyone's finally fed up with us.
Mm-hmm.
This is big time. Like, this is why I compared this one to Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, because it's very similar to his feelings then about, like, his mom abandoned him, right? And so he has these abandonment issues. And he knows he's different than most people. And so I think he's just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, just waiting for everyone to get tired of him.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's so sad and not true. And if I can just be a Britta for a second. In psychology,
yes,
we would call this projecting.
Yeah. Well, is that not the entirety of the Dreamatorium?
Absolutely.
It's just projection writ large.
A lot of yes. Projection.
Yes.
Projections of projections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poor Abed. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But
he's run all the simulations. I'm never going to get married. I won't invent a $1 billion website that helps people have sex. I don't make it into Sundance, Slam Dance, or Dance Pants. Troy invents Dance Pants in 2019. Don't tell him. He needs to stumble onto it.
Where are they?
I want to go to Dance Pants.
I feel like the closest thing we have are like parachute pants. They kind of feel like dance pants to me.
Yeah. Now that I'm just hearing it again, is dance pants an event or an apparel item?
I thought it was an apparel item.
Well, Sundance and Slam Dance are events.
You're right.
And Dance Pants is capitalized too. So unless it's like trademarked or something.
It is an event, I think. Wow.
You dance your pants off?
Is that my brain?
Yeah, I think Dance Pants is probably like a naked dance party. You dance your pants off.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
Either it is a party or it is not parallel structure in the three things that are listed. And I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm very normal and have a normal brain.
Uh-huh. Let's get that right out of there.
And he says these are all science fiction. They're impressive, detailed, and insightful, but they're not accurate. Your simulations are anxieties.
Yeah.
You're afraid you don't fit in. You're afraid you'll be alone. And great news is you share that with all of us. So you'll never be alone and you'll always fit in. And like she also says, like, that's also why I meddled. That's why I meddled with Troy and Britta.
You're right. I was trying to,
according to a script. Mm-hmm. But we both have to get comfortable winging it. At least it'll be less work. And I really loved this, that Annie is like bringing in her own experiences to kind of make Abed realize, wow, you're not alone. Like this, I feel like this as well. And bringing up like that the simulations are anxieties, I feel like it's like very like ahead of its time almost. Like, I feel like now we'd hear this in a show, but back then I don't think it was as common to hear that, like, all of these things that are happening.
Even 2012, yeah. I think 10 years ago, are we having the same conversations about mental health that we're having today? No way. You know, moving towards it for sure. But yeah, I think it's impressive when you think of the time that it's coming in. I don't know about impressive, but notable for sure. Yeah.
I love that part as well, Jess. Like, this is kind of what I was alluding to with the rehearsal, which I feel like is not spoiler. This is in the first episode of the rehearsal. It's in basically, you know, the trailer of the rehearsal. You can kind of pick this up. And why I was comparing the two is it's like, well, when you're rehearsing something or when you're anticipating the million different ways something could go, is it really because you're trying to control your life and it doesn't work that way. And that's okay. It's okay to not know how people are going to respond. And you can't predict every single thing everyone's going to say. And I just love this so much. Again, like, could not relate more and feel like it's taken me 29 years of life. And I'm still learning that, like, no matter how hard I try to protect myself against every little thing that I think somebody will say or do, first of all, I'm usually imagining it way worse than it ever is.
Yeah.
And secondly, like, you can't always predict it. You can't predict it. And that's okay. And like, I would not like if I was this super predictable person either. Like, I wonder what Abed's impression of me would be. Ooh. And I bet I would not like it.
Yeah,
I would expose all my insecurities.
I would also not want to know for myself. I gotta tell you, but like, I'll just hop on everything that you just said, Gabby, and just like preach is all that I have to add to what you just said. Is like, I think it's a really hard journey that, you know, all of us have to embark on to some degree at certain points in our life or ought to, and it's hard. The journey into the mystery of your own mind is a tumultuous one.
Yeah.
But a rewarding one too. I think that the way that they get into it in this episode, I think is really, really strong. I think it like is emotionally resonant. It's format breaky. It's creative, and it's got really great performances from all of the cast, but really led by Abed and Annie, that I think, it's really, really good. I really love it.
Yeah. And this is part of this, Josh, is the reason why I love Annie so much, is just because, like, I feel like her so much of the time of like having this script that you're trying to get your life to conform to, when that is just so unrealistic to think that we can predict and plan and plot every single thing that's going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And especially Annie is in hospital administration right now. Like, that is, and she picked that. As someone else who kind of did this as well, like, picked a career that is very reliable, right? That it will always need you. Even though, is her heart necessarily in hospital administration? You know, we'll see. But I just love Annie here. And I think her having this conversation with Abed is so important. And I love that it's someone other than Troy. I think it makes sense that it's someone other than Troy to have the conversation with him.
Totally. Totally.
But he says, as a result of this, he'd cut down about 18 hours a week in his dreamatory.
Also relatable. Yeah. The hours I would spend if I didn't like spend them anxiety riddled over things I can't control.
Yeah. That being said, I do not want to cut down on my time in the dreamatorium. So I am going to stay here, exactly where I am. Can I work on my stuff in the dreamatorium?
It's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So she unlocks him with the quantum spammer, even though he says that's not really what it's for.
Oh yeah, they do. They go back to Inspector Spacetime, and then all of a sudden she's saying all of the right stuff. Like she's got blorgons different than blowguns. Like she's able to parse out the differences. It's very fun to see the two of them in full on Inspector Spacetime and companion mode. This is good.
Yeah, Annie jumping on the blorgons and
punching them in the stomach.
Yeah, only to realize it's Abed. Yeah. But he's like, you got commitment, though. That's right. Great.
Okay, so Gabby, R2-D2, Blorgons, and Chewbacca. Which one is the dog and cat now?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to change my opinion on R2-D2.
Is Blorgon Shrek or Donkey?
Oh, my. I don't know much of Blorgon's personality.
What is it that they're like? What is it from Doctor Who that they're supposed to be mimicking? Do we know?
Gosh, I don't remember what they're called, okay. But they are a thing. Are they Daleks? Is that right?
That does sound right.
I've never seen Doctor Who.
Wow, I think I got that. Whoa. Look at you.
Congratulations.
Oh, whoa.
Are so you much a exposure real fan? To Doctor Who that nailed it just was, it was within me the whole time.
Wow. That's fantastic. I honestly thought they were supposed to be like an R2-D2, which I know I'm messing up my show.
You're doing fine. We have a really nice little end quote, right? I'm Abed. I don't know a lot of the things that everyone else knows. I wander the universe with my friend Troy, doing whatever I want, sometimes accidentally hurting innocent unremarkables. This week, Troy went to lunch and I adapted. I now have the ability to enter the minds of others. And then we see them making buttered noodles.
Empathy. Mm-hmm. He has unlocked empathy.
That's good. So that's sweet. Good. Good to so find that if him. You can get it. Yes.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're back at the study hall. Shirley didn't end up going to the other fast food place that she had more time to go to because she's like, what am I doing? This is stupid. So she got pizza. Mm-hmm.
Mall pizza.
mall pizza. Pierce. He almost sat on his balls, and then the last second he made an adjustment and he didn't. So everyone claps, but it turns out he did.
Yeah, later he's like, I did sit on my balls. I howled. I laughed so hard.
It's so stupid, but it's like so funny.
It was really funny. I'm not gonna lie.
We shouldn't still be laughing about this, but it's so stupid.
I thought it was hysterical. Yeah. I almost sat on my balls, but at the last second, I made an adjustment. And everyone's so happy, but it's a lie.
And Troy and Britta had a great lunch. Troy told the manager he should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the dean comes in and he says, the people at the bank loved my outfit. They had so many questions.
This is the cap to my favorite moment of Community. I think, the first time I watched this, you know, the beginning part is like I was like, this is amazing, but the fact that the people at the bank loved it and it resulted in him having the deepest conversation of his life. I think it is so wholesome. I'm imagining meeting him at the bank. I would too also think it is fantastic, and I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. Mm-hmm. We're all exploring.
I love he's like, what it I means. Gotta go. I'm telling everybody.
I'm telling everybody, not so just this sweet. Study group. Yeah. I'm telling everybody. Oh, so there it is. That's my favorite moment, possibly of the entire show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so cute. Then we have the end credit scene where it's Troy and Abed in the morning and with a guest, Annie. She's here to spruce up your place on a budget. And so we find out she put a blanket on the couch to cover up a spill from Abed. She says, if you're having a lot of company, grab extra pillows out of your bed. You could sit on them. And then she has a surprise. While they were playing Blazer Tag, which is laser tag and blazers, she did an extreme home makeover of their blanket fort. She unbunked their beds and there are pillows everywhere. And Abed freaks out.
Yeah, he starts screaming again. Yeah. And we have a technical difficulties moment where Troy tells Garrett to stop filming. So Garrett is just off screen in this episode, but he's here in this episode. And unless this is the Dreamatorium, then Garrett himself, he of wishing little Billy a happy birthday fame, is in this episode and therefore eligible for a Dean's List point.
He is technically eligible.
Wow. Look at that.
He is eligible.
Anyway, streets ahead.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I only said Streets Ahead, honestly, after Daybreak. Yeah. That's what made
Daybreak
it for
me. Daybreak is so iconic.
It's so good.
For me, it was the moment Abed started making the noise. I was like, yeah. Yep, that's it. They got me.
That's great. Very fair.
It's such a good song, right, Josh? I told you were going to love it. I told you you were going to.
Yeah, really good runner. All right, we got some feedback. Eric writes in, does Abed believe the Dreamatorium works, or is he the best improv actor of all time? Gabby, do you get the sense that he thinks the Dreamatorium is working, or is he just like shorthanding his way into talking to Annie about all the problems?
I don't understand the question, and I won't respond.
And I will
to
not
it.
Respond to it.
I shan't.
It's both, I think. I mean, I think it's not that Abed believes the Dreamatorium works, but it's that the Dreamatorium, like, works because of Abed's brain, if that makes it, like, that's not the clearest way to say it, but it is encapsulating the way that he is thinking through things. So it only works because the Abed brain power is in there, really. Mm-hmm. He is a fantastic improv actor. He really commits to ya bit. And not only Abed, but of course, Danny Pudi. I mean, both great impressions,
Yes. Yeah. Eric had additionally asked, what opinion could a restaurant owner hold about a movie or show that would cause you to boycott their restaurant? And I don't want to get into this.
I'm going to say if a restaurant told me that Jurassic Park was a bad movie, I would get up and leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Pandering answer if they didn't like Community.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
Yeah,
play
one.
To the base. The wisecrack Blorgon writes in and says, Abed and Annie, Abby, Onbed might be my favorite pair off after Troy and Abed. She's the only other study group member who can meet him on this same level of creativity, but unlike Troy in most cases, can challenge him in the process. I think that's maybe a spicy take, but I really think that Abed and Annie are a really good on-screen duo. I think that this episode really proves it.
I think maybe like Shirley and Jeff are another really great one that I love.
Yes.
Underrated, I think they're a little bit, it's less common to see them together. And so it feels like a little bit more of a treat when they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I don't know that anything will ever tickle me as much as them talking about Von's tiny nipples. I just don't know that anything exists that can make me as happy.
Probably not.
Yeah. I think it's a great take from the wisecrack Blorgon. I think I without much thought might agree with that. Sure. Yeah, I agree with that. Let's go with that.
Riley says, I personally really love this episode as character growth for Abed. I love a tightly focused character episode like this, and I feel like it plays really well off of the back of the Pillows and Blankets two-parter. This feels like Abed finally starting to learn that lesson he needed to learn. Him and Troy fighting was the first step, and then this episode with Annie helps actually sort of close that arc with what he learns with Annie, and it's actually significant for him to be able to have that growth with another character other than Troy. That's interesting. That's an interesting way of looking at it, that like someone other than Troy needs to unlock this for him, because there's so much sameness with him and Troy, maybe.
I also really think it's hard for Troy to say all of these things to Abed as well. I think Annie is one of the only ones who can say it, but not in like a way that's really going to hurt his feelings, right? Like a Jeff would say it too bluntly.
Yeah.
I think Troy is too nice about it. I think Annie comes in with that like sweetness, but also the harsh realities that he needs to hear as well.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally. I think it is the perfect person for this.
Yep. Agreed. Meow meow beans. I'm very simple on this. I am of the argument that since they do not appear in the episode as actual characters for the majority of it, and because only two characters are playing all of the other characters for the most part.
Dean.
Yes, he's in there, of course, but so are all of the other characters. And I just needed to do a very clear delineation for myself, lineation for myself. Everybody got a 2.5. Just a 50% of the way there, and I gave the full fives to Annie and to Abed. And that's how I did it, and I don't mean to break any hearts, but I needed to keep this simple for myself. So that's
you are delusional.
I know. I know it. This is the most stressful part of my week, is doing all the scoring on Community, because I feel like I'm just constantly going to ruin everything for everybody. So
putting
this is,
Chang and this Dean on the same level is viscerally upsetting to me, in the same way that the Die Hard conversation was upsetting
to you.
So
we're
even now.
It's fair.
Yeah.
I'm happy now.
Now you've exacted your revenge.
Monster.
Yeah.
What a monster.
Yeah. So a 5 for Abed and for Annie, a tremendous two-hander this episode for those two characters. And then 2.5 for everybody else for the impressions that Abed and Annie do of all of them. And just because Gabby is here, I will give Dean Pelton a 3.
Yay! Still too low.
I thought you were going to say a 5. Now I'm.
Half point
it should
boost.
Be a 5.
Half point but boost. Is what
fine.
I'm yes. Yes. Gabby, what did you do with your meow meow beans?
I have given, I took a similar approach. If they weren't really in it besides Abed playing them, so Jeff, Pierce, and Shirley, I gave a 2. Chang, I gave a 0 because his only
he's only in the dream, yeah.
He's only in the dream, and yep. he was kind of a cop in it. He was kind he's, of a cop he's, shoving he's, Abed he's in the water.
He is a cop.
For me.
Yeah.
He's
a cop
literally.
I wonder if I can use those rules cop. For the rest of the season and just give him straight 0s.
Do whatever you want. Yeah.
If Chang equals cop, then 0. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Britta, I gave a 2.5 just she was fine. So right down the middle. Troy, I gave a 4. Honestly, for the crying, I didn't get Inception scene. I thought it was fantastic. So thought he was a great friend calling in to check Abed, although not a great dater. And then 5s for Abed and Annie, and a 5++ for the Dean because he has gifted me one of my favorite Dean costumes.
Incredible.
And Dean going to the bank stories.
The duality of Gabby.
The duality. That was actually my Instagram caption for a photo I posted too, where my phone case has a picture of me crying on it. So that to me, that is the duality of me.
I like
it. Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think that's great.
I was a little bit all over the place. So because I like I said before, some actors just had such good performances that I wanted to reward their character as a result. So from bottom to top, we have Chang at a 1. He participated, but you know, that's that. Pierce and Jeff both get 2s because nothing they did was really like wild to me, really great. Shirley gets a 3. She's like a little bit above them, but not great. Britta got a 3.5, mainly because of the like fake makeout scene. It tickled me so much. And for that same reason, Troy gets a 4, slightly above it because I just think he's very, very like so funny. And Abed, I did give a 4.5. I didn't give him a full 5 because I just felt like Annie as the one pulling this information out of him and pulling these feelings out of him. Annie really deserved the 5 for me. So I give Annie. And of course I gave the Dean a 5 because the duality Dean, like I got to do it. I got to do it.
Fair. Totally fair.
I'm going to bump my Britta up to a 3 because I liked your rationale. So I'm giving her 0.5 more.
All right.
Oh, sorry if that messes up your calculation.
It does not. On the amazing side of things, we now have some movement in the rankings. Britta is still numero uno, reign supreme. But Annie is now in second. She skipped, hopped, and jumped over Abed and Troy, who are now in third and fourth, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I can. I'm watching it happen live as Jess is editing the document furiously, frantically.
I am.
Here on
close
the fly.
Race.
It's very close.
On the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only so Annie has 175, Abed has 174.5, and Troy has 173.5.
It's a very tight race there.
Very
They're not
tight.
Terribly far behind Britta, who is only out in front with 182.5. That could change in a single episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It could.
Yeah. Chang is at the very bottom with 87. He's the only one in double digits still.
He's you know, he'll break triple digits, but it might take a minute. And we're running out of time too
we'll
on the
see.
Episode.
Yeah.
This season. Dean's list. You both went with Leonard, huh?
I had to do it.
Leonard likes
Abel.
Yeah. But he's recording spy cam footage. That's not great behavior.
Yeah, that is not great behavior. I did not think about Garrett, but
see,
I'm
now
not
Garrett is filming with consent. Garrett is the camera operator.
I'm now seeing that Daybreak was an option. May I change mine to Daybreak from the cutscene or the ending scene?
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's okay.
Yeah,
you can do that. And so, Jess, you're just gonna stay on Leonard, huh?
I just love him poking his stupid little head out of the bushes. Nothing he does is great. He's Leonard, right? Like, he's not great all around.
A lot of bad behavior up and down on Community. If we start getting into that as a rubric, yeah. We're going to have to give everyone a bagel.
And he gets away with it because he's old.
Oh, is that it? Well, tell that to Pierce Hawthorne.
Yeah, Pierce is more along like the racist line of things. Leonard is just a little bit of a creep.
Yeah, it's all pretty bad. It's all pretty bad. Rating the episode, I said it. I'm giving it a full 4. I'm very simple these days with my ratings. If I loved it, I'm just going to say it. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that this was great. I think it was emotional. It was funny. It was creative. It was executed really well. There was like tiny little details. Like, again, the binder not going to Annie and she's pretending, but she's not committing enough. Or Abed is more committed, so he keeps the binder. Like, there's just a lot of different ways in which I think it played so fair within the reality of the virtual reality. I was just really impressed. And I really one of the things I'm really enjoying going back and watching Community for my first time is seeing, like, seeds of Rick and Morty in here. And this is so Rick and Morty to me. Yeah. So I loved the episode. I thought it was great. Full 4 from me. What did we get from you, Jess?
Yeah, I had a really tough time with this one. I often struggle with episodes like this where it's not an obvious 4, but it's also not a bad episode. I struggle with ones like this where I don't laugh as much as maybe I do in other episodes. And it is so hyper focused on Annie and Abed that we don't see a ton from the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's a really good episode. So I did end up giving it a 3. A 3 to me is like solid, really, really good episode of Community. But I had a tougher time giving more than that because the main reason I watch Community is to laugh.
Sure.
And it doesn't have as many laughs as a lot of other episodes do. So I give it a 3.0.
Gabby, you're like right in the middle of the two of us.
Oh my gosh. I'm little Goldilocks. I'm at a 3.5. Right. And I totally get both of you said. I think for a while I was not very high on this episode for almost the same reasons as what Jess just said. And maybe just watching it with fresh eyes, it's been a while. I enjoyed it a lot more than I remembered that I did. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the 4, the 3, and the 3.5, and the audience gave a 3.15, mm-hmm. we have an average of 3.44, which puts this smack dab in the middle, just like Gabby's score. Mm-hmm. Virtual systems analysis is 8 out of 16.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and I think this makes sense to me. Like, I think the ones that are above it feel like they probably should be. And it is, it's like, it's all very close in that middle range. You know, we have a 3.55, 3.51, 3.44. Like, they're all very tight together. I feel like it fits right where it is.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah. Well, that's another episode down. It's another episode in the books of Community. That's it.
That's the podcast.
We did it. Gabby, what a delight to get you back here. Always, always delighted whenever you are swinging through the podcast studio, the podcast dreamatorium. What are you up to in your own dreamatorium? Give people a little bit of the update on what you got going on.
Yeah, I'm fulfilling my Brita fantasy of studying psychology, and I'm living in Western New York, not upstate New York, as I clarified to Josh before the podcast began.
Yeah, I'm geography. I don't know it.
It's because you're downstater, and all downstaters think that upstate is like north.
Yeah,
of
but that's anything. I lived in Syracuse for 4 years. I should be better than that.
But you're an OG downstater, so it doesn't matter.
I am. Everything revolves around.
Once a downstater, always a downstater, as they say.
Wow. Oh, yeah. They are always saying that.
It's starting to feel pretty targeted in a way that I don't
love. I mean,
it's because of the 2.5 for the Dean, okay?
Yeah. I bumped it. I will never forget.
Not enough.
Do you need me to bump it a little further?
No, it's fine. I don't want to bully you into giving the best character
together,
some
Gabby.
More
beans,
life is unfair, and it's fine. I learned that.
Gabby's got to go to the bank.
I have to go to the bank today. I did have to feed my cats in the middle of this podcast. And because they were meow meow beansing a lot.
Are your cats, where are they on the Shrek to donkey dog cat spectrum?
I'm going to place them firmly on cat. Both,
yep.
Probably very far on the cat side.
Yeah.
And both, actually my girl cat is a Shrek and my I don't know. This is too complicated. They're cats, Joshua. They're cats.
It's a lot. It's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
No, but yeah, I don't know. What else am I supposed to say at this point?
I don't know. Is your point? You get to say whatever you want. You can say pass if you're done, or
pass.
Just keep going.
That's it. Pass. He's done.
There's nothing else interesting about me.
I highly doubt that, but a delight to have you here, Gabby. Jess, could you tell us what kind of shit the 90s have taught you recently and anything else that you have to say?
Yes. So the 90s have taught me that Boy Meets World season 6 isn't super great, but that's okay because we're heading into our final season. It also taught me that Dawson's Creek is a hot mess express, and it just always gives us so much life. We are finishing up season 4 of that show. And I'm very excited because it's almost college time. We love a college season. Mm-hmm. So that's very exciting. We also have some extra bonus content coming up later this month with some familiar faces and voices you might recognize. So keep your eyes peeled for all of that. You can find us at your 90s pod. Of course, you could find me at the Jess Sterling. I think this is I am taking a little bit of time off. I have like not a ton of podcasts right now.
Great.
That's probably going to change in a couple of weeks. Like sure. We all know I'm going to take something else on, but for now, this is it. That's it. That's all. That's everywhere you can find me.
It's great. That's great. Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm in Westeros. I'm just talking dragons. Yeah. I'm in the house of it, of the dragons.
Little
that's
hot D.
Yeah. A little hot D going on here on PSR over at Vanity Fair as well. If you want to check all of that out, we have those podcasts. The Hot D podcasts are ad free for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. You also get the community building podcast a little bit earlier and ad free than anybody else. When you sign up at any level, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Very early in the month. Great time to sign up if you're able to support. We certainly appreciate you stepping into our dreamatorium. I'm at Ren Howard on the internet. You can talk to me there. We will be back next week with more community. What do we got coming up next, Jess?
Oh, my goodness. So we have basic lupine urology. Whoa. And we are bringing on a first-time guest, Mari, on the podcast.
So excited.
Amazing.
So excited for Mari to be on here. Cannot wait. Love Mari. This will be really fun.
And this episode, gotta say, it's an old-timer.
Good.
It's a really
good
one.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that. I feel like I've heard traces of this one. I feel like I've heard like a thing or two about this one.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Enjoy.
Okay. Am I gonna like it, Gabby?
Yeah, you will.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with basic lupine urology. Very excited to be here for that. That sounds like a fun time. Can't formulate words because I've spent too much time in the dremitorium. So I guess I should just form the words that I still do know how to say, which are Corey B, take us away.
This is a show in season 3. If you didn't know, we included the Dean, Wickler, and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, dream jail with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.